Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and it's great to be with you once again. Though persistent rain has dampened things a wee bit, we are finally heading into summer, which I'm sure is going to be welcomed by a lot of people. One downside, though, is that depending on where you live, summer is likely to either be the most expensive or second most expensive time of the year outside of winter for energy bills. Unfortunately, this summer is also looking like it'll be even dearer than normal on the bill front, as energy prices are likely to continue to remain far higher than they typically have been. So given that, now is probably as good a time as ever to trim back on some of those electricity and gas costs. But how can you go about doing that? Well, ready to impart her wisdom and some summer energy savers is today's guest, author and host of the Joyful Frugalista podcast, Serena Bird. Serena, welcome back to the pod. It is a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Of course. To start with, I know you have a bit of expertise in this domain from a former life. So what's actually caused the higher than usual energy prices we've been copping as consumers this year? And I guess, are they expected to continue into 2023?
Well, this is a really interesting issue. And for pretty much everywhere in Australia, except for the ACT, and I'll get to that, we have seen, in some cases, almost double an increase in our energy costs. And unfortunately, because of strategic issues and because of supply issues, those problems are likely to continue. Now, I mentioned the ACT, which is where I live, and I know, Tom, that's also where you're currently living. And this is not to say that we have any special government handout or the grass is greener in Canberra or there's something golden about us. But what actually happened was that our government, the ACT government, we don't have a local government, but many years ago they had a commitment to renewable energy and a vision of 100% renewable energy. And as part of that, they entered into a number of long-term offtake agreements for renewable energy. And who would have thought that now that source of energy is actually cheaper than gas and electricity because of what has happened in the broader strategic landscape? So it's very interesting. And I mention that too because I think it's important, and we'll talk about this more, hopefully, when we're talking about the costs of energy, to have a long-term strategic view now, not just to sort of, where possible, not just to be lurching from one summer or one winter to the next, to have a long-term view. In terms of what's happening, there are a lot of things happening. The war in Ukraine is a big trigger. Now, that might seem a long way away. We are in a globalized world, and there's, of course, there's a lot of people from Ukraine and even Europe who've been affected by that who live in Australia. But those ripple effects are huge. And one of the big effects of that is that Russia is a major player in the energy space, and it used to supply a lot to Europe, and now a lot of European countries are saying, you know what, we don't really want to take Russian gas, for instance. Mm-hmm. We don't want the risk that Russia might turn off the pipeline, but also too, because they don't agree with what's happening there, they're choosing not to supply from that. So that then means that these countries have to get their gas in particular from other sources. And that means that the international price of gas has gone up. And so that has affected the whole market. So that has had a huge impact globally. And same with electricity. Electricity, particularly in Australia, but it's slightly different triggers. But in our case too, you know, we are transitioning away from traditional fossil fuels and into renewables. But we're not quite there yet. And there is a little bit of a supply gap, particularly as some of the coal-fired stations have either turned off or are about to be turned off. So there's some of those issues too. Also, too, the transportation of energy, the costs of that have gone up. I mean, we've all seen the supply chain issues that we face when we've gone to the supermarkets.
Absolutely.
Things that, you know, from overseas that just suddenly aren't there for various reasons. Delays in shipments from overseas if we bought something through, you know, Amazon or wherever and it's from overseas. We've seen the delays that this has taken. Well, the same's happening with our energy. in fact, probably on a bigger area. The transportation costs of just getting a ship from A to B is a lot more expensive. Getting cruise is more expensive. Just the logistics supply chain is not really quite there. And then, of course, added to that is extreme weather events. You know, we're all noticing that things are getting hotter and colder. And so this does have an impact on everything that's happening. So it's not a good news story in terms of the future of energy, at least not in the next couple of years. I think once we eventually start to transition more to renewables, it will change, but we're not quite at that stage yet.
Mm, and I guess as long as the war continues to go on in Ukraine as well, then, you know, that's obviously going to keep things elevated, as you were saying. So,
yeah, and that's not an – we're seeing that's not an easy fix.
Exactly. Thank you for such a great bit of background there, Serena. But let's get into some tips now. So what are some of the things that people can do to keep their homes cool and, you know, hopefully reduce their power bills as things do start to get hotter?
It's always fascinating that when we think about energy usage, people are often really fixated about winter. And, you know, being a Canberran, I totally get it because it's very cold where I live.
Oh, yes.
But often people even spend even more in summertime in keeping their places cool. And it's really important, especially for those who aren't in a good health situation, particularly the elderly, if there's heat waves, to keep our house cool. We do. There are actually a lot of people, particularly elderly people, who actually do die when it's too hot. So it is important. It's not something you can really go without, especially if you do have elderly people or young people, babies. You've really got to make sure that your house does stay cool because, you know, we just want to be able to deal with all of those sorts of things. I think it's important too to think about, you know, the long-term strategic things that you can do and the short-term reactive things. Now, I'll preface this by saying that energy poverty is a real thing. Like in an ideal world, we'd all love to live in homes that are double glazed and don't use much electricity and are designed with passive solar in account. But if you're poor and you're relying on public housing or couch surfing or whatever homes you can get to rent, you may not have that option. You mightn't be able to make changes, for instance, if you're renting. So I'm just going to preface it by saying that with the long-term things that I'm aware that this isn't possible for everyone. But where possible, this is a really great time now to be thinking not just about your energy usage now, but into the future. If you've been thinking about maybe putting solar panels on, do your research. A number of states and territories have some generous schemes, including in some states, some zero interest loans for people who are on low income. There's a federal scheme too for solar rebates. Now, you won't get the money back immediately, but, you know, do your sums. You might find that, you know, over, say, you know, 5 years, you'll get your money back. And then from then you'll be earning money in terms of putting it back into the grid. So think long-term about these sorts of things. If, for instance, you've got a window that consistently gets too much sun in summer and it's really hot, you know, maybe think about investing in blinds and do it now before the rush comes on in summer. So think about these long-term things about how you can better insulate and prepare your home so it's ready. And if you are building or you are looking for a house, do look at ones that do have good insulation or put the insulation in, and do consider those design features that are going to make it more environmentally sustainable. There's a lot more work now that this is happening, and it's not just for the super rich now. Like, a lot of developers are realizing the importance of doing it throughout the space. So that's something to consider. And I know, Tom, you're also in Canberra, but I remember arriving and my first rental property, and I'm looking around and I'm thinking, this looks great. I love the balcony and I love the windows and I love the paint scheme, you know, how the color that it's painted. I love the kitchen. I never once thought to look at the heating and cooling or ask about the insulation. It wasn't until I got my first energy bill for electricity that I absolutely freaked out.
And it's kind of too late at that point, right? Because you're already locked in.
You're already locked in. So, you know, even if you are renting, just stop and think, you know, where are the heaters? How does this house cool? You know, do you get a lot of sun in here? Do you get too much sun in here? You know, and you can even ask, you know, sort of what is the energy usage of this sort of place? Like, you might ask if you're buying what the rates are. So, you know, ask the same question about energy. So those are those long-term things before you even get into a property or you're in a property and you want to improve. And then you are where you are, and these are the short-term things. And so let's talk now about some of the tips. If you are running a fan type thing, that's just basically going to move the air around. It's not going to cool it. But sometimes that can be useful for various reasons. And sometimes that's just enough, to be honest. If you're living in a dry climate, evaporated cooling is the cheapest to run in terms of cooling a premise down. And you usually need a fan with that then to circulate, but certainly an evaporative cooling system will cool it down. If you're living in a humid climate, it isn't really going to work. And of course, in a lot of places, it's a very humid year this year in Australia. So, you know, just to consider that it is very climatically based, so that may not work. The next are air conditioned units, which of course most people have. The key thing here is to make sure that you don't set it too low. You're not setting it to Arctic temperatures because that uses up a lot of energy. So the recommendation is anywhere between 25 to 27 degrees.
Interesting.
I do find 27 a little bit too toasty.
I think 25 sounds a little bit better on that spectrum.
But it is an individual preference. Like if you've grown up in far north Queensland and you like that temperature, well, do keep it there. And I think it's less sort of a shock on your body too. Like if it's super cool inside and then you head outside and it's super hot, I don't think it's fantastic for your body anyway. So I always try and make sure there's not those huge extremes between inside and outside anyway. But certainly if you're wearing a jumper inside and your AC is to super low, like you're doing something that's not right. So, but you'd be surprised how often that happens. So think about that. Also think about when you turn the air conditioner on, because the unit will work a lot harder if it's super hot. So it's important to look at the weather forecast, look at what the BOM has out for that day. If you know it's going to be a stinker, there's going to be 3 days that are over 40 degrees, put your AC on early because it'll use less energy to maintain it than it does to have to bring it down from a hotter temperature.
Oh, wow, that's so interesting. Now, yeah.
And I'm frugal, so I don't like turning on the AC at all. But, you know, I have children and, you know, when it's 40 degrees, you know, you're going to need to do that. But if you think about it, like everything in your home will heat up, like, you know, the walls will heat up, the floors will heat up. Even if you've got insulation, things will heat up. So if you can prevent it actually heating up, it will make it a lot easier to keep cool. So if you know it's going to be an absolute stinker of a day, put it on early so that you can keep it and maintain it at that temperature. And also consider drawing the curtains, particularly if there's a lot of sun coming in and you know the sun's going to come in and it's going to be a really hot day. I know it may feel a bit weird in the middle of summer to be drawing your curtains. However, if it is going to be really, really hot, that'll prevent that sun coming in and it'll prevent the place warming up as much.
My dad is a big fan of that last tip, and I have to remind him that, you know, it is daytime and that we do need some curtains open, which would be nice, a bit of natural light. But one thing that I do often wonder, Serena, kind of related to reducing costs, is whether it's worthwhile for households to look at switching from one energy provider to another. So is there actually a case for that?
Most definitely. It's a little bit better now, but, you know, probably going back 5-6 years ago, people thought there was maybe only one provider that they could have. And, you know, there's a difference between the wholesale and the retailer. There's now a lot of retail providers. So in Canberra, where I am, traditionally there was only one. Now I think there's about half a dozen. So there's quite a lot. And, you know, they're getting it from the same source usually. They are just marketing it and selling it a bit differently, a bit like phone services or telecommunications.
Yeah, that's a great comparison,
In a way. So, you know, they're the frontal kind of the retail outfit. And we often assume that they're doing the right thing by us and that because you've been with them for a long time, you're on a good contract. Never assume that. You're just a number to them. You know, it's great that we have that opportunity in Australia to be supplied with energy. You know, it's really quite a blessing, really. It's really quite miraculous. But don't assume you're on the best plan to do that. So, you know, the best way you can do that often is just to ask, just to ring up and ask. And it can seem really daunting, to be honest. Because, you know, it's like, you know, please, sir, can I have some more? You know, I've got to ring and I've got to ask something and they're going to say no. But really, you know, they're salespeople. This happens to them all the time. They're constantly getting requests. It's not considered anything unusual. And all you have to do is ring up and say, I just want to inquire to see whether I'm on the best plan. And they want to keep your business, right? It's now a competitive market. So they want to keep your business. So if you just ring up and ask that, you will usually find you'll get results. Last time I did it, I think I was transferred about 3 times. It took about 15 minutes, but I did end up with a saving of, you know, a couple of $100. Usually wow. They'll say, oh, I can see you're on this plan, maybe consider this plan. And, you know, you'd be surprised. My dad tried it and he saved, I think, about $300 straight up. And he was like, really? I didn't even know I could do that. It's like, of course you could do that.
But how satisfying is that as well? That's brilliant.
Yeah. And of course, it doesn't work all the time because once you've done it a few times, you will be on the best plan and there's kind of nowhere to go. But, you know, for some people, that's the best and the easiest step because it'll just take a phone call. And the return on investment is pretty good, right? For between 15 minutes to maybe half an hour maximum. If you're going to save a couple hundred dollars, it's a pretty good return on investment. The next step then is to change providers. And this is a little bit more work, but it's also doable. And the key thing here is, where possible, is to get a copy of your statement, preferably your last statement, because it'll tell you things like the supply charge, because there's always a charge for supplying the energy. And I'm talking here just about electricity. Mm. Gas is very, very similar. And, of course, a lot of houses have both. And they can be different providers, although they are often the same. But let's just talk about electricity for now. But they also, in addition to supply charge, they'll talk about the charge, for how much the electricity is, depending on whether it's off-peak, whether it's shoulder, you know, what particular time usage it is. So they'll have all these different charges as well, the tariffs that they'll have, plus the supply charge. And in some cases, there's also now some membership options as well. So there'll also be a membership cost as well. So you can look at what you're already being charged and you can look at what other competitors are offering and you can compare. Now, there are some websites that make that process really easy, and one is a federal government one called Energy Made Easy. Mm. So it's Energy Made Easy, I think it's .gov.au. So you can punch in this material from your bill and it'll tell you in your particular location where there's competitive products and where you could be on a better deal. So that's a really good one. And for Victorians, there's the Victorian government one called Victoria Energy Compare that you can also use. So that means that you don't have to go through and manually calculate all these things. It can do it for you.
I mean, that sounds pretty good to me. And I know that I'm well overdue to compare and to see how my kind of provider actually stacks up, because it's been too long. But Serena, time has absolutely flown, so we're going to have to leave it there for today. But thank you so much for joining us, and stay cool this summer with your aircon tips in particular.
Thank you so much.
Before we go, a few quick messages for you, dear listener. First of all, a big thank you to everyone who has emailed us with episode ideas over the past few weeks. We've had some really excellent suggestions that we're really keen to dig into as well. So please keep those coming our way via our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. Secondly, if you enjoy listening to Friends with Money, and if you've reached this point of the episode, you probably do, we'd love you to recommend it to a friend or family member who might also enjoy it. It really helps us out, and obviously we're very grateful to anyone who has done that in the past. You can also leave us a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app, and while you're there, hit the subscribe button to make sure that you don't miss out on our future episodes. Last but not least, make sure you head over to our website, moneymag.com.au, for all the latest financial news and views. That's it for this episode of Friends with Money, though, but we'll be back in your feeds next week. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.